Sex and happiness.
Both enrich our lives, change our lives in ways that make life worth living. Yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Want you to make me feel like I'm the only girl in the world. Like I'm the only one that you'll ever love. Host Lori Handlers helps you to explore, learn about, and most importantly, have great sex. And in the process, she helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness.
Sex and happiness.
You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Welcome back to Sex and Happiness, a show about sex and happiness. I'm Lori Handlers, your host, and I'm excited to be back today with you talking about my favorite topic. And also my radio show is kind of my favorite thing to do. It really is. I love everything I do. I love my job, and my radio show excites me. So, and it's good to be excited if you're talking about sex. So today, I want to talk about a lot of people calling themselves or getting even certified as sexologists and sex coaches and intimacy coaches and counselors. So who coaches them? You know, maybe they come out with some kind of degree. There's lots of them who don't have any degree. They just have street smarts and a lot of knowledge, and sex sells, let's face it. So often people in my classes, you know, they've heard me talk on and on. I actually rant about boundaries. Boundaries is so critical and so important, and it wasn't anything that I grew up with. Boundaries, the word boundary was never used in my family. My father never said boundary. My mother never said boundary. So, of course, I didn't know boundaries. I didn't know what boundaries were until I ran my head into a brick wall most of the time, got in trouble. So today, my guest is going to be talking to us. She's an expert in and sheds a lot of light on this favorite topic of mine and one of hers. She teaches sex educators, so she really is going to talk to us about the boundaries. Her name is Betty Martin. Her logo says training and mentoring for erotic professionals. She's a hands-on sex and intimacy coach. She's been a mentor for other sex professionals, and for 30 years, she was in the holistic healthcare, and 10 years of that 30, she's been in sexuality and erotic education. So, of course, we're going to find out a little bit from her about, like, how she turned and went in the direction of sexuality and erotic education. And the thing about her for me is the name. You just got to hear the name of her workshop. This is why I contacted Betty. The name of her workshop is Like a Pro: Making Your Sessions Safe, Effective, and Satisfying. See, I heard the word safe and I called her up. I went, Betty, we got to talk. So Betty Martin, welcome to Sex and Happiness.
Thank you, Lori.
Great. It's great to have you. And thank you for doing the class that you do, this workshop.
Sure. It's a lot of fun, actually.
Good. I'm glad. I want to look, sex should be fun.
That's, you know, right.
In its funnest sense, it needs to be fun. I mean, people are so heavy about it. They're so
sure.
Intense about their sexuality. So I'm glad you're talking fun.
Right.
So 10 years you've been in sexuality and erotic education. Did you start out instructing other professionals, or did you do?
That's a really great question. I spent about 30 years as a chiropractor, holistic chiropractor, and was doing, along with chiropractic, other body-mind integration modalities, peer counseling I taught for years, education of kinesiology, somatorespiratory integration, a bunch of stuff that put body and mind and heart all back together. So that was my background. And then in my early 40s, I realized that my own sexual life or erotic life was pretty not well-informed. I didn't really know myself very well or, you know, what was what. So I took a few workshops that happened to be with the Body Electric School, and I dove in for 6 or 8 years or so with other friends who were, you know, exploring the same thing. Went to workshops, assisted at many of their workshops, and took what I I already had gained personally and professionally from a holistic perspective and dove into sexuality with it. So it was only after a number of years of my own exploring erotically that I realized I was ready to offer something to other people. So I closed my chiropractic office. I hung out a different shingle as an erotic educator and saw people in my studio for that for a number of years. And then I realized there's something really missing in how we're educating or not other erotic educators. So that's when I began to offer my professional.
Okay. Now that I know you were a chiropractor, I have to backtrack a little bit because I've had, that's a whole, yeah, how do I want to say this?
Don't tell me about your back, Laurie.
Chiropractors need an education in erotic education also.
Well, everybody.
And that could be a whole new niche for you because there's a lot of chiropractors when there's a lot of chiropractors when they get people in those gowns. I've had chiropractors actually walk in before I had the gown on. I don't know. There's just like a kind of, you know, I've had a lot of chiropractors because I've lived a lot of different places, but I just feel like there's a whole education that needs to be put into chiropractic school.
That would have to do with office flow and patient management. It doesn't really have to do with eroticism. In fact, I have never had difficult erotic boundary confusion in a chiropractic context. In fact, one reason that I closed my chiropractic office and opened a different studio is because I didn't want the two to get confused. Really important.
That's great. I'm so glad.
I couldn't do both. Sure.
Thanks for having those kind of scruples and bringing those kind of scruples to erotic education. So, okay. So you started exploring for yourself. Then you took classes and you were part of a group that explored sexuality, sacred sexuality, et cetera. And then so how long has it been that you've been offering courses to other?
Yeah, so here's what happened was that I went to a course, I don't know, probably 4 years ago now, which was a well-known course in the country. It was a two-week course, was all hands-on. And two or three days into the course, somebody, one of the other students said to me, you know, I want to learn more about yoni massage. The course included genital touch. So I said, well, you know, I'll volunteer. What can I do? What do you need?
We got to tell people what yoni is.
Okay. So yoni is a term for the female external genitalia. So it's a vulva. So part of this course was working with people doing body work that included genital touch, specifically for healing purposes.
And you could do this on a yoni, on a female genitalia, but you could also do this on male genitalia too.
Yes, that's right. There are places, let me back up, there are times and places in which body work, including the genital area and the pelvic area, can be very, very healing with the right circumstance. Anyway, so what came out of that whole adventure was that it became very clear that the course was not teaching consent. They were just assuming that, you know, everybody needed this or was ready for this or whatever. They were teaching their technique, but they weren't teaching consent. And I was just outraged that you're calling this a professional training and you're not teaching consent. This is what I need to teach. So I went home and wrote the curriculum for what I teach. And this particular course is not unique. I mean, it's not that they're bad guys. It's pretty common in most all teaching about erotic education. I mean, ironically, that's too broad of a statement. Many people are doing a wonderful job teaching consent.
You mean like consenting adults, like consent between consenting adults?
So let's define consent. That's a great place to start. So when most people hear consent, they think permission. So in the sense that, I can give consent. If you say give consent, what you really mean is give permission. Consent is a much bigger process, which involves what are options, what's on the table, who wants what, who's willing to give what, who would like to receive what is actually the gift that's being given, what are the parameters, what's the context. So it's a very rich adult activity that is way beyond permission.
We're going to stop there for a second. That's a perfect place to stop. and take a short break, and we'll be right back. I want to just let everyone know that I'm interviewing Betty Martin today, who educates erotic professionals, people who are sex workers, people who are sex coaches, intimacy coaches, sexologists, and we just covered the huge piece about consent, what consent means. When we come back, we're going to hear more about what Betty offers to people in terms of making sessions safe, effective, and satisfying, so that if you are someone who seeks a sex professional out, you will have the optimum experience. So stay tuned. This is Laurie Handlers. I'll be right back with Sex and Happiness.
Wondering what book you should read to jumpstart your sex life and increase your happiness? Try my book, Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by me, Laurie Handlers. This short, easy-to-read book will make you laugh at yourself, and it may possibly make you cry as you discover my tantric secrets for happiness and how they apply to you. In the book, I begin with the 10th law, make love in the unknown. And then I work you all the way through laws 1 through 9 to teach you how to be in the unknown, fresh, every moment of every day of your life. Sex and Happiness puts the innocence and love back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. It's only $19.99 in paperback and $14.99 ebook. Go to sexandhappiness.com to order your copy of Sex and Happiness by me, Laurie Handlers.
Are you in pain or unable to sleep? Ever hear about how the body needs glutathione for natural cleansing? Could you use a boost of energy? Try Life Wave Patches. There are a variety of patches to choose from. Each one of them is designed like a small band-aid to help your body with the challenges of life when you're simply not getting what the body needs for support. And you can use these amazing patches on your pets. Go to Life Wave Patches for Pets and People on Facebook and see Suzanne Summers' interview with Dr. David Schmidt about patches that reduce stress and inflammation while increasing energy. You can also find out more at ValerieHandlers.com. That's ValerieHandlers.com. Or call Valerie at 714-928-6399 to order your patches, or consider becoming an independent Life Wave distributor. That's 714-928-6399.
You're listening to Sex and Happiness, and I'm Laurie Handlers, your host. My guest today is Betty Martin, who is a hands-on sex and intimacy coach, and she mentors other sex professionals. And this is a huge field today. Every city, in every major city in the United States, yes, even the Midwest, even in Kansas, even places where you don't expect there to be sex coaches or sex professionals, there are. And Betty is a coach to those professionals. So, Betty, we were talking about consent. That was beautiful.
There was an interesting study some years back done by the students at Antioch College because they were having trouble with, you know, this questions on dating on the college. And one of the things that they came up with, which was just so fascinating to me, is that for some people, if you don't hear a no, you assume it's a yes. And that was mostly the guys. For other people, if you don't hear a yes, you assume it's a no. And that was mostly the girls, not all straight across, but for the most part. So there's a huge gap there in what consent means. And even in that, consent is taken to mean permission. Consent skills means learning to ask for what you want, first of all, learning to listen to what the other person would like to have, learning to negotiate if there's some place that you have in common or something that sounds fun to both of you at this moment, learning to stay within those agreements, even if you get excited and want to change the agreements. You know,
wait a second. So what you're saying here is basic, and it's, I don't mean basic, like, I don't mean basic to minimize it. I mean basic, like, everyone needs this.
Yes. Yes, that's correct. That's correct.
Everyone in the world needs this.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you have if you can't ask for what you want? What do you have? You have either the option to go along with what someone else wants or what you think someone else wants, because you don't really know what they want because they can't ask for what they want either. So you both guess about what the other person wants. You try to go that way. Nobody really gets anywhere. Okay? So you have that option. The other option you have is that you will, at some point, become resentful if that's your approach. There is no other way to go except you will get resentful if you cannot ask for what you want. There's no other place to go.
Bottom line. It's just the bottom line.
Yes, it is.
So you're taking the guess out of sexuality between the genders.
Yeah.
And among the genders, because, you know, we're not only talking to heterosexual population, we're talking to anybody who's having sex.
Yeah. And asking for what you want doesn't mean that it's not necessarily a play-by-play deal. I remember, you know, when I was young, teenager, just starting to explore sexuality, I mean, the thought of asking for what I want, not only was it terrifying, but it was pretty unromantic in my, you know, youthful image. But like, what I'm supposed to say, put your hand here and now turn it this way and now move it that way. But that's not what we're talking about, although it could be at times.
We were brought up in a time, though. I mean, I was brought up in a time when if I said to somebody, put your hand over here and turn it this way and that, I would have been labeled a really bad girl.
Absolutely. How the heck do you know what you want? And that implies that you've had it before, and that's a big bad no-no. Yeah. So anyway, that was just off the table. We've grown up now, and there are wonderful ways to ask for what you want. Yeah.
So you're saying that that anyone who's having sex, who's engaging in sex as an adult, as a true adult, should really start the skills of negotiating and saying for a fact, I like this, I want this, I don't want this, my goal would be this or whatever. And then how do you put the romance back in?
Well, you know, it's such a big question, and it's not easy for anybody. Almost everybody gets like, you know, tense around that question. There are a lot of ways to approach it. The way I like to approach it is that you start with something very small, very simple, not really threatening. You're sitting down watching TV together and you say, honey, would you rub my foot, please? And would you get that little spot right there where it's sore? And that's asking for what you want. And to say, you know, I'd like a full body massage and love me up for an hour and a half and do this and do that, people are mostly not going to ask for that. It's just too big of a leap. But if you start with something small, short, simple, not terribly sexy, you get some confidence in it. And it doesn't have to be unromantic at all. It can be, oh, honey, you look great in that shirt. I would love to rub my hand down in it. Now, tell me that's not romantic or sexy. You
know, so, it was sexy. That was very sexy.
Yeah. So what I've discovered for myself in this long journey of learning to ask for what I want is that as I get more and more direct, it's a lot more fun and it's actually a lot sexier. And to me, I am no more interested in a partner who can't ask for what he wants than I am to jump over the moon. It's like, no way, I ain't going there. You got to grow up first.
So basic. It's really, really basic. Yeah. And really all partners, you know, people who are partnering, it's different in solo sex. Solo sex, people can give themselves what they want some of the time.
Sure.
But then there's the edge of being with someone else or others and saying, you know, this is what I'd like to experience and having somebody actually deliver that experience.
Yeah.
So.
But another example may be that, you know, I would love to just lie here and snuggle with you. And would it be okay if we take our shirts off and leave our pants on? That's what I'm comfortable with. Would you like that? You know, so you've set a limit of what you don't want to do. That means you have a lot of freedom for what you do want to do. You play within that arena of what you know, what's up for you there. And there are lots of people who teach wonderful courses on this, how to have more fun asking for what you want.
That's great. That's really great. So then you bridge this into the sex professional.
So professional, that's a whole different ball game. I believe that the professional needs to be teaching people how to ask for what they want. And here's why. Every single one of us has been touched against our will before we could walk or talk. Every single one of us. That's we had our diapers fact. Changed. We had our teeth brushed. We were picked up, whatever. Our bodies and nervous systems know how to go along with something that somebody else is doing to us. We know how to do that. And that default mechanism will kick in at some point, guaranteed. Guaranteed. Whether you're with your lover or whether you're with a professional. And when the professional knows this and really gets this, then we can be more careful to guide people into learning to ask for what they want and not put them in a situation where they're going along with what we think is good for them. One of the primary wounds around sex and sexuality is that feeling of passive, going along with, enduring the feeling of powerlessness that we all know in our bodies how to do. And that feeling is one of the foundations of all sexual wounding and must be the foundation of all sexual healing.
This is a place where we're going to stop now for a second. The point you've just made is enormous. So when we come back, we're going to delve more into this, like the difference between really being for and in favor of the client in a whole new consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you're speaking about. So if you just tuned in, I am having an incredible conversation with Betty Martin about, it's actually a beyond boundary conversation. It's taking boundaries and consent and sexual wounding and healing to a whole new level. So please come back with us right after this.
Have you ever wished for an end to pests in and around your home, around your office? Stop paying for dangerous chemicals that can harm your children, your pets, and your clients. Today in Arizona and Florida, an environmentally responsible pest control company named Ladybug has set up shop to provide natural and organic pest control services. Ladybug can help you stop even the most persistent, nastiest bugs with green, organic products that are friendly to people and pets. In addition, there are franchise opportunities in Arizona, Florida, and throughout the USA. To learn more about Ladybug's home-friendly and earth-smart green pest control services, visit the Ladybug website at ladybugcorp.com or call us at 561-276-7600. Ladybug guarantees you another eco-friendly, pest-free day, naturally.
How would you like to lose up to a pound a day with no exercise required, with no hunger, without being on a restrictive diet for the rest of your life? And no unpleasant side effects. If this appeals to you, you want homeopathic HCG. How do you get that? You go to hormonenurse.com. That's H-O-R-M-O-N-E, nurse.com. There you can find out about HCG and this amazing diet. It's a diet I've used, and I've lost an amazing amount of weight. I'm back to my college size. Plus, you'll find out about hormones, bioidentical hormones. Perhaps you need that too. You need it maybe for sleep, for sexual passion again, your libido. Go to hormonenurse.com. We're back with Sex and Happiness. And what we were talking about before, what my guest Betty Martin was talking with me about, it's extraordinary. The basis of sexual wounding being touched and picked up and violated in some way before we could even talk. And that's really the bottom line that we're talking about. So mm-hmm. Betty, how do you actually get a hold of people who are working in the sex area, sex professionals, and get them conscious about really their own wounding and not taking other people on that path with them to their own wounding and to two wounded people dance a wounded dance?
Well, I want to clarify a couple of things. One is that when you said just now that, you know, we've all been wounded by being touched against our will, I want to be clear that I'm not talking about sexual abuse, although that certainly happens, obviously. I'm talking about just in the very best of circumstances, as a small child, you were picked up and touched in ways that you didn't want.
Yes.
I mean, in the very best of circumstances. So we're not talking about horrendous things that sometimes happen. We're talking about just regular, you got through childhood, so you had things happen to you that you didn't want. So I want to be really clear about that. And the other is that we are all wounded. We all have different injuries. We all have things happen. It's not like, oh, we're wounded with a capital W, and so, you know, we have this big deal to work with. Sometimes that's true. But we all have places in which we've gotten hurt and don't function so well. That's the nature of being a person. So I want to be clear that we're talking about everybody here. It's not that, you know, it's a big, horrible deal. It's just this is how life is. We have things to deal with. That's what it is to be a grown-up.
Thank you. Thank you for clarifying. Yeah. Because, of course, we all do just what you were talking about. When you were describing being little and following along, and then my own self, thinking of my own sexuality and how many times I followed along, not in a rape scene, I followed along in a be a nice woman, don't hurt somebody's ego and make it all good, and it doesn't matter if this touch sucks, it's horrible. Just don't make any big deal out of it.
That's right. Don't make any waves, keep the other person happy, go along, be nice, blah, 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 all that stuff. The other thing I would like to back up a little bit, I know boundaries is one of your favorite words, and it's one of the things that started this conversation, but I'd like to kind of define that, because boundaries is a word that everybody uses in a different way. Everybody means something a little bit different. And so for that reason, I really hardly ever use it anymore. But what I found really more helpful for me to think of in terms is the term of a domain. This is what I own. This is what I'm responsible for. And this is what I have a right to. So my body, my emotions, my dreams, my thoughts, my impulses, my choices, my past, my issues, my desires, all of these things, they're in my domain because I own them. I have a right to them, and I have a responsibility for them. And the right to them and the responsibility for them go together. That's always the case. So I have a right to make choices regarding my body. I also have the responsibility to make choices regarding my body. I have the right to want what I want. I don't necessarily have the right to get everything that I want, but I have the right to want what I want. For no reason whatsoever. It just belongs to me.
Right.
I also have the responsibility to communicate what I want if I choose to pursue it. I have the right to say no for any reason or for no reason. And I also have the responsibility to say no if it's true for me. I can't give you that. I can't give away that responsibility and ask for you to read my mind. I am responsible for that. I find that the concept of domain is a little more useful to me. And so personally, I think of a boundary as sort of the edge of my domain. Those boundaries never change because I will always own my body. I will always have a right to it, and I will always be responsible for it. That's the nature of it.
Let me give you my definition, and then I think it adds into what you're saying, or at least it's somewhere there.
Yeah.
For me, the definition of boundary is a permeable membrane that keeps out toxins and lets in nutrients, like a cellular membrane, and it changes based on the getting the respect of it. So, for example, if I say no to your prospective partner of mine, and I say no to you in an area that I need to say no and want to say no and choose to say no at any particular time, once I have felt that that is honored, I might change the no.
Exactly.
To a yes, because I realize that if you're honoring my no, that it seems like you're agreeing to something I'm asking for. And then once it's respected, perhaps I don't need that.
Exactly.
That wall.
That's how I look at it. Yeah. I think a lot of people use boundary in just the way you did. And for me, I think of that as a limit. Today, I have the limit of you know, I don't want to do X, Y, Z. Tomorrow that might differ. It depends on the situation. That's right. Why I find the concept of domain helpful, because I will always have a right and a responsibility to the things in my domain. That does yes. not change. It's yes. my choices and how to exercise those day by day in regards to the situation and the activity at hand. That's what changes. And ironically, the more confident I am that I do know how to say no and take responsibility for what's in my domain, I am much freer to change the limits of my choices at will, because I know I can take care of myself. That's when the limits can be very flexible, because I know what's happening, I can respond, I can take care of myself. Therefore, I have a lot more freedom to enjoy what I enjoy.
You're actually redefining the whole master of my domain.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's just
you're just giving it so much power and crispness that is often lacking. I mean, look, when I opened the show and I said my parents never used the word boundary.
Well, who did in that year, that era?
Yeah, they never said no either. So I never said no for the longest time. And then I realized, what kind of a thing is this? I feel no a lot. I just need to say no.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
so
and
is,
you know, in our era, girls weren't supposed to say no, but they were supposed to say no. I mean, it was this ridiculous thing where you are supposed to be attractive as you could be and not say, you're supposed to keep other people happy, and at the same time, you're supposed to save your sex activity for some later time, and so never say no, but always say no. I mean, it was messed up.
Yeah.
It was messed up.
It was totally confusing. And I think that adds into what you were saying earlier in the show when you said in England they did a study of what no means to one gender and yes mm-hmm. means to the other gender. It's a carryover from not knowing what no means and not knowing when to say no and who's supposed to say no and will you be seen as mm-hmm. this way or that way if you say it.
Yeah.
So it's tricky. It's tricky. It's like a coyote. It's a trickster. I so appreciate that you're bringing a crispness to this. Sure. I'm very turned on right now by it.
All right. Good. I say yes to that.
That's great. We're actually going to break here for a moment. And when we come back, I want to talk about and explore with you a little bit more about really. So what do you do with people who are professionals at this, and how do you get them to teach this to their clients? It's so critical. So please stay tuned. You're listening to Sex and Happiness. I'm talking to Dr. Betty Martin, who is involved in training and mentoring erotic professionals on how to bring the utmost of safety, effectiveness, and satisfaction to their clients. So we'll be right back.
Many times you've heard my guests and me discuss emotional release techniques. Now you can do emotional release work in the privacy of your own home. In my CD, Shamanic Release in Lati Han, I create a very, very safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work I'm known for in my Tantra courses. First, I set you up with the proper positioning and breathing, and then I guide you through emotional states to the beat of tribal African rhythms. Try this CD as an easy way to do your personal clearing work on a regular basis and watch your relationships walk free from emotional baggage. You can order my CD at butterflyworkshops.com for only $20. I believe you're worth it. I hope you do. Go to butterflyworkshops.com and get your copy now and walk free from emotional baggage.
You're listening to Sex and Happiness, a show about sex and happiness. And I'm Laurie Handler, your host. And I'm speaking with Betty Martin. We were just talking about a crisp definition of domain, the domain of self, the domain of what I own in myself and what I have responsibility to communicate and what I want to communicate when I want to communicate it. It was just a beautiful, exact example of of what everyone needs to know about themselves as an adult. So Betty, how do you translate this to sex professionals who often have been more than wounded, the wounding we talked about before, you know, the just being picked up. Often people are driven into the work of being an intimacy coach or a healer in that respect because something more happened in their life. And not everyone, I don't want to like give everyone now the scarlet letter, but it's like psychologists going into the field of psychology because maybe something happened that they need to figure out for themselves. It's an old paradigm. How do you translate these kinds of consent issues and domain issues in these courses? And, you know, what are some of the results? Who are the people that you teach? Like, who are these sex educators or sex workers? And then how do you actually get them to teach their clients about this distinction you've given me called the domain, like what I own? So the first part really is who are your clients really?
The people who come to my classes and people who seek me for mentoring are a wide variety of people in the erotic education, mostly hands-on type of work. So that would include escorts, doing sensual massage, erotic massage, or also a more traditionally approached therapeutic healing massage. People who are practicing tantra or teaching tantra, sexological body workers. We take a very therapeutic approach to body work, but it can sometimes include genital touch.
People need to know what sexological body workers are because that's...
You bet. Sexological body work is a training that actually was developed some years back. It's taught in California. The training is licensed in California, but it's not entirely, it's a legal gray area as far as practicing, unfortunately.
Is it because people touch it?
Can sometimes include genital touch of the of the client, not the practitioner. It's all one way, just like a therapeutic massage, except that for the purpose of learning and healing, there may be times when it's appropriate to touch a person's genitals as part of the rest of their body. It's not an opportunity to get off. It is a therapeutic process, a gray area legally.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that about it's not an opportunity to get off. It's not it isn't a turn on for the practitioner is what you're saying. They're not getting turned on, turning someone on. They're actually doing something that's therapeutic and manipulating the genitals in a certain way where could be blockages.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. It's a wonderful profession and it's really a brilliant opportunity. And it's young profession. It's not real well understood yet.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's the range of people that I work with. And sometimes people do sex coaching that's not hands-on, but verbal. Or even I've had sex therapists come to my class to learn about what is the hands-on piece about, who are not going to put their hands on their clients, but still they want to understand how it all works.
All right, that's great.
So why variety of people?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for clarifying that. So how do you get them to get the piece about what I called boundaries earlier in our conversation and what you called domain? How do you get them to teach that to their clients? How do they impart that?
That's a great question. You know, I think the most important thing that happens in that class is that I take, well, first of all, the class, there's no sexual touch in the class. But I take the students in the class through a simple physical body experiences, just like I would a client, that have to do with body awareness, communicating your desires, communicating your boundaries, that sort of thing. Because until a practitioner can feel that in his or her own body, they can't teach it to somebody else's body. It's really, really important for each of the practitioners in the group to find their own personal edge of, oh, I get it. This is a little hard for me. Because until you do that, you can't really see it where it's hard in your client that you're trying to help. So the first day and a half, we just spend taking the practitioners through an experience. And then the next day, we come back and look at, okay, now how do you apply this to your clients? And essentially, it's slowing the process down of noticing what you want, asking for what you want. And it seems that pretty much everybody has some edge somewhere, a learning edge somewhere, about asking for what they want. It's just amazing.
I honor you for doing this work because what you just said is so true. Everybody has an edge where they retreat. They would retreat normally. They wouldn't ask for what they want because they would do that thing you said earlier, which was that abuse of just going along.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that's just, I think one of the things that I've become passionate about in teaching professionals is that, and I forget if we talked about this much earlier, is that unless you teach your client how to ask for what they want, you cannot empower them. That's the first step of empowerment. And empowering your client, teaching your client how to take their own power and make their own choice, that's got to be the first thing that happens. It's just got to, because there's nowhere to go from there. So that's really the piece that I've become passionate about and really excited about, finding a way to teach it in a very systematic, effective way. And it's just a lot of fun.
When you say there's nowhere to go from there, I'm not quite sure I understand.
Mm-hmm. Sure, you mean, that's a good question. So I could, for example, have a client and lay them on the table, and I have this idea about what I think they need because they have this groovy new technique I'd like to use on them. If they're not ready for that, I'm not doing them any favors by taking them through this experience. It's too much for them.
That's enough said. That's so perfect of an example. And I can think of countless examples where people have been called on the carpet for stuff like that, and then they deny it.
Yes.
But
yeah, absolutely.
It's great, Betty. It's really great. All right. Well, this is fabulous. I want to, first of all, I just want to let you know that I thank you so much for the distinctions, the clarity, and the crispness that you brought to the profession.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's so key and so critical, and clearly you've given it a lot of thought. And then, you enable others to wrap a thought around it, which
you've
empowered me today just by saying.
Great. Well, I've made my mistakes and learned from them. That's really what happened.
Yeah. Well, listen, tell again, so the name of the course is Like a Pro, and what's the rest of it? So people could look for it on your website.
Yeah, the name of the course is Like a Pro. It's a weekend course I teach around the country, making your sessions safe, effective, and satisfying for both of you. And information about it's on my website, bettymartin.org. I schedule several cities during the year, but I'm also quite happy to come to a city where somebody's excited and wants to sponsor me and, help me find people in that city who want to take the class. So
very great. Yeah. Very great. So everybody, Betty Martin, Betty Martin, Martin, just the way it sounds, .org. That's where you can find out more about Betty's work. And you can, and if you happen to be listening and you're somebody who is in sex work, you're somebody who's making that transformation happen on this planet, it might behoove you to call Betty and find out more about Like a Pro. So you can act like a pro. Yes, great.
Thank you, and we'll see you in Phoenix,
Yes, you will soon.
Great.
I want to remind people that they can follow us on Facebook, they can follow us on Twitter, and also I want to let people know once again about my teleseminars that I have a whole bunch of now about expanded orgasm for women, expanded orgasm for men. I have a female ejaculation coaching session, and on. They all can be found at butterflyworkshops.com. And please tune in again for my next show, and I'm going to be speaking to somebody who is also a former chiropractor and has expanded into much more other healing modalities. And he's going to be talking to us about his perspective on sex and happiness. So please tune in the next time, the next week, for Sex and Happiness. So this is Laurie Handlers and Betty Martin. We're signing off. Betty, thanks again for being my guest today.
You're welcome.
And
thank you.
And I thank everyone, all the listeners and my sponsors, everyone out there. Thank you so much. Until the next time.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Lori and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. And if you'd like to listen to podcasts of Lori's previous show, Tantra Cafe, please go to tantracafe.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Want you to make me feel like